Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we're going to take a look at Obamacare and the margins tax from the vision of Dr. Paul Hiss and Dr. Doug DeVries. They are both members of iCare Associates. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Marsha Burke Bigler, Martha Gould, and Peter Kruger. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chen.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome to the program for the first time Dr. Paul Hiss and Dr. Doug DeVries. Pleasure to have you both on the program.
Thanks, Sam.
And you're both eye doctors, so let's put that on the table. I wanted to ask you, first of all, your thoughts on the Affordable Care Act and how that's going to affect you and your business.
Well, nobody's really sure how many changes are coming down the road with the Affordable Care Act and other laws related to that. Because the Affordable Care Act has set in place different levels of bureaucracy, which will then have the ability to decide a lot of the things now that doctors and patients are deciding. What type of care might be available to you, what type of procedure, how long do you have to wait for a procedure, etc. And those administrative levels haven't necessarily been set yet. So we don't know who's going to occupy those or what they're going to decide. So right now there's a big question mark on how this entire law is going to be implemented and what that's going to mean to the doctor-patient relationship.
And you've got this on two levels, because you've got federal regulations coming down from this, but you also have state regulations from the board that the governor has appointed that will oversee all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. And even though we really don't know exactly how those are going to be implemented and who's going to be directing those and governing those, we're already feeling as a business and as a practice some of the effects of the Affordable Care Act in recredentialing, in certain levels of regulation that we're having to comply with at this point, and just the early levels that we're getting, a lot of it is quite onerous and difficult as not only a practice but as a business as well.
I think a lot of people don't understand that when you think of health insurance, you think of a medical doctor. They don't usually think of their dentist or their eye doctor. So right now you're able to take insurance. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And how often is, what kind of surgeries do you guys use with insurance? Because I still think of this as more optional than it is a surgical procedure that is covered by insurance.
Well, you might be thinking a bit about an optometry practice that provides some medical care to patients, but in large part does optical needs for patients, prescribes contacts, makes glasses. Mm-hmm. We don't do that. I'm a medical physician. I do medical and surgery of the eye, and that's just as medical and surgical as for your knee or your heart. So we are falling under the same laws as a medical practice that any medical specialty would.
Mm-hmm. What do you think in terms of the patient's responses to the Affordable Care Act? Because they're having a reaction and coming in the door and talking to you about this as well, I'm sure.
That's a great question. And on a daily basis, I get patients that are concerned about what's going to be there for them and what isn't. Is something that is covered now, is that going to be covered down the road? And unfortunately, we don't have those answers.
But at some point, I guess by what, October, they're supposed to issue all these regulations and pricing structures and everything. Do you think they're going to make that target?
No, I don't think so. And I think built into the law is the ability for bureaucracy to create other bureaucracy. So the answers are not going to be here in October, I'm afraid to say. This is being implemented in a very slow pace, and the decision makers haven't really been appointed yet. So I don't see how it could happen in a couple of months.
Do you think the ultimate goal is to force the country into a single-payer system?
That's my impression of the legislation, that really it won't succeed until they've accomplished a single-payer system from the goal that they've outlined. I absolutely feel that way.
That's a little frightening prospect when you think of this is an important relationship between a patient and a doctor, and to have the government coming in there. If you could sit on the exchange or work with some of the bureaucrats that are doing this, what kind of advice would you be giving them on how better to handle what we should be doing in our health insurance?
Well, I think one of the first things is the availability of you know, insurance that does cross state lines. The other thing that has to be taken care of is tort reform, and to really ensure that relationship between a patient and a doctor and be able to explain to a patient what their options are. I think that's essential as well.
I think the number one essential thing in medicine is protecting the patient's right to choose the physician that they want. And more bureaucracy involved, the less the patient has the ability to choose the doctor they want. And the less the doctor has the ability to choose the medication or the procedure that would benefit the patient the most, because that has already been set in stone by levels of bureaucracy, that if this is the condition, then you have to do this or that. Well, every patient is different, every situation is different, and you just can't go by a checklist at all times. So I think the doctor-patient relationship, I mean, that is what medicine is all about. And when you lose that, you lose care. Patients suffer a loss of care.
I wanted to ask you one more political question before we get into more areas of expertise,
okay.
Which is the margins tax. What concerns, if any, do you have about that coming down the pike?
Oh, I have tremendous concerns about the margins tax. I mean, for a tax that is going to be off of gross revenue, irrespective of the net revenue, could have a devastating effect. And then, you know, are you combining businesses? Are you taking from different entities to combine that if they're the same ownership? There's some frightening aspects of that that is I'd really hate to see that come to fruition.
Well, we're also setting up an IRS, essentially, for the state of Nevada.
Yes.
And, if you've seen the form that comes out of the state of Texas, it's 12 pages. It's pretty much like doing your federal tax returns. So it's not only that, but really what is driving this is the misnomer that it's actually going towards education when all it really is doing is building up our state budget. And maybe if we had more accountability, we'd be a little happier there, but that's part of the challenge, too. What are you looking at in precautions that you might be taking for both affordable health care and margins tax as you're preparing for the next couple of years in your planning?
Well, I don't know that we're having precautions as much as we're trying to comply. Mm-hmm. And that is a major undertaking, is just complying. We had to have electronic prescriptions that are sent in. That's mandated and in place right now. We have electronic medical records that soon that date will be mandated as well. All these are huge onerous tasks for a business, let alone somebody who's in the business of taking care of patients to try and accomplish on a daily basis. So, and something as simple as a electronic prescribing has increased our workload tremendously, because now instead of giving a prescription to a patient and have them go to a pharmacy where it's between the pharmacist and the patient, now the patients are coming back to us saying, well, they say they don't have it. They say, and so now we're having to stop. We're having to look up information. We're having to, so it just is the implementation and compliance is what we're trying to do. There's not a whole lot of prevention right now.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. More on Nevada Newsmakers when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to MarilynMiner.com. Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shadd.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dr. Paul Hiss and Dr. Doug DeVries, both eye doctors.
So you do some servicing throughout the state. And I'm curious, you actually go out into rural Nevada.
Yes.
What are you seeing out there that's changing in our communities? Especially, there's not a lot of access to doctors, I would think, in a lot of our rural areas.
And it really hasn't changed in the 22 years that we have been going out on the road and going to rural areas. I haven't seen any increase in the number of physicians, certainly not in my specialty. I'm still the only ophthalmologist that visits some of these rural areas, even after all these years.
And these are not small. You're talking places like Elko, Winnemucca?
Elko, Winnemucca, Ely. We've been to Fallon, and we did a lot of work in Fallon, but unfortunately the surgery center wound up closing there.
Really?
So we didn't have a place to do some of our work.
And yet, didn't they expand services into Fallon, at least to the Naval Air Force Base? So didn't that bring up the population to some extent?
Air Force tends to have their own medical care, so
okay.
That may not have been the people we were taking care of.
But I think of just the families and the businesses that come in when you bring in more services to the Air Force Base. So
there is a hospital there, and they do a good job,
yeah.
But this private surgery center just wasn't able to survive with the number of physicians utilizing it.
Yeah. Let's talk about new technologies, because there's been a lot of changes in the last couple of years in your field. Would you care to elaborate on that?
Well, I'm a cataract surgeon and a and a refractive surgeon. That means I change people's eyes so they see better without glasses. And then cataract surgery. Cataract's something that everybody is developing. Every second, your cataract just got worse this last second. It takes a long time, takes many years until they affect your vision, but this is something that will affect everybody. So the main focus of my work is cataract surgery. And in cataract surgery, just continues to evolve. We have better and better lens implants to replace the lens with when we take a lens out. So we can help somebody's vision be better and better, closer to what it has been during their lifetime with glasses on, and now replace their glasses with an implant so that they're less glasses dependent.
You were talking to me off air about actually how this works, that you can see things in real time now.
Yes. Time was that we would take measurements of an eye and we would predict what lens implant would be good for that eye after their cataract has been taken out. And we would go into surgery with that in mind, and we would have that lens in hand, and we would swap lenses. And yeah, by and large, the cataract surgery has always been very successful. But now it's getting a little bit more fine-tuned with the measurements. We now have the ability to analyze the eye optically in the middle of surgery. So we've taken the patient's lens out, and now we can do an analysis of their eye in real time to see what would help their eye focus the best. And we have hundreds of lenses on hand, so we can choose one that's closer to what they would need to be rid of their glasses. So that's been a good improvement in patients' vision without glasses after surgery.
See, maybe there's hope for you yet with those glasses. Of course, I have contacts, but my mother had cataract surgery, and her vision after 50s, well, almost 70 years, her vision is almost 20/20 now. So I had no idea that when you do cataract surgery, I always thought it was a preventative thing, but it actually does improve vision, and I was just surprised to hear that.
Yes, we do not do cataract surgery as a preventative measure.
Yeah.
We wait until the lens of the eye is hazy enough that the patient is having some problems doing what they could do, reading street signs far away, sewing, reading, doing crossword puzzles, any of those things that patients have a decrease in their ability to do because they're not having as clear vision due to a cataract, then it's time to consider cataract surgery. If we don't do cataract surgery right away, no harm done. The cataract doesn't damage the eye, but as time goes on, it gets worse, and they have more and more trouble with these activities of theirs. And eventually, they want that vision back that they used to have. So we get that vision back in most cases, and now, with the implants we have available and our ways of measuring it, we can do better than ever at getting them out of the glasses that they've always worn at the same time that we're doing their cataract surgery.
So is LASIK just a younger person's version of cataract surgery?
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
Very briefly here. On the radio, we do have aids here, visual aids.
Yes.
I have a little eyeball in my hand. The cornea is the front window of the eye. The lens is a clear structure inside the eye. When this lens gets hazy, it doesn't allow light to penetrate as well and reach the retina in as good a focus. So we take the cloudy lens out, put a clear one in. That's cataract surgery or lens replacement. For younger patients who have a clear lens but they need glasses, we can reshape their cornea somewhat into like the shape that their glasses are, so that the glasses prescription is then almost branded on their eye. But it's the cornea. We leave the lens alone.
And that's where we have to leave it. Dr. Randy, getting in the business. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout. Thank you, guys.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Are you struggling with credit card bills? Are you only making minimum payments, living paycheck to paycheck? Will you ever catch up? Get rid of your credit card bills. The Thomason Law Group has a free offer that could eliminate your credit card debt. It's the best solution for your situation, guaranteed, or you don't pay. In fact, you won't pay a single dime until the job is done. You pay no upfront fees, no monthly fees, no banking fees. You pay nothing until your case is settled. No other law firm does that. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, call the Thomason Law Group and get the power of a lawyer on your side. Learn about our unique Pay Only When the Job is Done program.
Call 1-800-327-7520. That's 1-800-327-7520. 1-800-327-7520.
Become a big brother today. Call 352-3202. I did, and it's the best hour of my week.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Martha Gould is here, the fiery political activist. Peter Krueger, executive director of the Nevada Petroleum Marketers and Convenience Store Association. And Marcia Birkbiegler, who's a Washoe County commissioner and also a consultant with Forte LLP. Pleasure to have you all on the program.
Nice to be here.
Across the state, the spotlight is on you and the rest of the Washoe County Commission.
It certainly is.
Where do things stand at this point in time? You had this huge meeting last week with literally, what, hundreds of people spoke?
Well, we had 68 who actually testified.
That's close
but
enough.
We had over 100 who submitted opinions and didn't want to testify. So, yeah, the room was packed. It was standing room only. There will be another set of meetings. There will be a number of meetings.
You know, in this business, we know that when people call into radio station talk shows or when they write letters, it's a tiny fraction of the general population's thoughts on things. They don't tend to get involved. What have you been hearing out in the community beyond what you heard at the meetings in terms of whether the county commission should enable this school board tax?
It's interesting in that support for the tax for the schools is in my district, in District 1, split about 50-50. But even people who support it are dissatisfied, shall we say, with the way it ended up with the county commission, and they don't believe it should be there in the first place.
Okay, and so their consensus is it should be thrown back to the legislature. But wouldn't that just perpetuate the problem?
Yes, it would. And so those people who are very supportive of doing something for the schools don't really want it thrown back to the legislature. They're not happy with how it got to the commission, but they don't want it thrown back to the legislature. They just simply want to move forward in a positive manner. There are just too many questions to just simply take an up or down vote.
Martha, you know, you ran the Washoe County Library System for many, many years, and so you're very familiar with funding situations. How do you look at this in the discussions at the commission?
I think that the legislature kicked the can down the road because they didn't have the guts to do what had to be done. If you want good schools, there is a cost. My problem with this is, and I'm going to surprise people by saying that I'm opposed to this, because first of all, how can you ask one elected body that has no authority over another elected body to pass a tax raise? They have no ability for oversight. I mean, they can say whatever they want to say before they do if they vote yes, but how do you know the school district is going to do it? And then if you read the audit, that's enough to make my hair turn gray if it wasn't already gray. So part of the problem from where I'm sitting is the school district has done, I mean, the new superintendent has really inherited a mess. There's no question that this has to be done. But the funding approach, how do I say this inelegantly? It sucks.
You know, Peter, it was interesting. Howard Rosenberg, who's a school board member, was on the program last week, and he was talking about, you know, that there will be transparency at the school board and to trust the school board. But, even if you say that everybody on the school board is honest and in favor of transparency, sure, et cetera, they're not going to be there forever. The superintendent is not going to be there forever. And so, therefore, when we look at government over the years,
I don't know that trust is the word that I would be looking at.
I would agree, Sam, and I think it's important to know that and to say publicly that both Marcia and I work together in our private capacity so that you know, everyone understands that. But no, I feel that's exactly right. This is bonding. Essentially, we're going to take, if this passed, and bond this money into the future 20 years probably at a minimum. And so that'll be set. There'll be no change. And other governing bodies will come and go, school board members. And I think that creates a real problem for Trump, this, you know, the real go word, buzzword today, transparency of this whole program. And I, too, agree with both Martha and Marcia on this. This is a problem that should not be at where it is in the county commission's hands, and it should have been dealt by the legislature. That being said, we all agree, I think most all agree, that the money needs to be spent for the schools. This is just not the right way to get there.
There's one other issue when we talk about trust and transparency. You have an elected school board. They depend on staff to give them information. How do you evaluate the information the staff gives you? Because staff also have their own agendas. So when you look at how the school district operates, I think there are a lot of questions there.
Well, the other big question is precedent, which
Absolutely.
Is that if the county commission passes this tax, then every other board has potentially the opportunity to do the same, and the state legislature has the opportunity to pass the buck again.
Absolutely. There's no question that it sets major precedent, largely because this is one elected body coming to another elected body on an equal level. This is not going to the legislature and asking for something. This is two locally elected bodies who essentially serve the purposes of all the same constituents.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them does not have authority over the other one, and yet this bill is asking one elected body to make a vote for the other elected body, which is very precedent setting in the state of Nevada.
And home rule is another thing. You know, the legislators kick the can down the road. Some of them are saying, well, this the city and the county, or the, in this case, county commission, ought to be really happy for this because it's home rule. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Exactly. I mean, either we get home rule or we don't get home rule.
And that's where we got to leave it. We're out of time. Thank you all very much.
You bet.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
A good law firm protects you, your family, your well-being, and your health. But a great law firm protects your money. At Laub & Laub, it's all about your money.
My password is 12345.
I just use my hamster's name, Brian.
I log in with my birthday.
I just use my dog's name, Bowser. Actually, we're kidding. When it comes to passwords, don't make them easy to guess.
Make them complicated, but easy to remember.
Like Al. And change them often.
You won't make password your password, the more you know.
Fluoride is a natural mineral that already exists in many sources of drinking water in the U.S., however, not always at an optimal level to protect our teeth. Water fluoridation is the single most effective public health measure to prevent tooth decay. Fluoride added to our water is just like vitamin D added to milk, iodine added to table salt, and folic acid added to cereals. Simply by drinking water, people can benefit from fluoridation, whether they're at home, work, or school. Water fluoridation is a safe method of preventing tooth decay in people of all.
It's a beautiful day out here, sunny today with light breezes, giving way to clouds in the afternoon. We could see some light precipitation to moderate precipitation later on, followed by powerful storm-like conditions. 90 miles per hour winds are expected. Authorities are asking everyone, stay indoors.
Come on, that's it. Let's go.
The best way to achieve your dreams? Sleep more. A good night's sleep lowers stress and increases your energy, so you're healthier and more productive during the day. You'll stop burning the midnight oil to achieve your dreams, the more you know.
On the next broadcast, Steve Sisolak may be running for governor.